Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine, Broadcast, and Global Communities, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And today I'm thrilled because I have with me Marcia Hewlett. Marcia is a therapy and life coaching specialist for individuals, couples, and family. Marcia is on a passionate journey to help people find their purpose and create powerful vision that inspires them for years to come. Since 1988, she has helped thousands of people as a licensed psychotherapist working in treatment centers, both as a clinician and a clinical supervisor. She opened her private practice in Los Angeles in 2006 and soon studied to become a certified professional coach through the College of Executive Coaching. While her clinical experience, private practice, and extensive training has been of great service to her and her clients, Marcia's own life is a living, breathing example of how to move out of the darkness and chaos, of living and into a life filled with purpose, light, and gratitude. Marcia shares her wisdom in articles published across the internet and in her new book, Your Best Life Yet, A Journey of Purpose and Passion. Marcia, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Vicki. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited about the work that you do because I think personally it's the most important thing for anyone to really discover their passion and purpose so that they love their life fully, every minute of their life fully. And I was wondering how you came about this to be your passion and what you're dedicated to contributing.
Well, you know, it started actually a long time ago, but didn't come to fruition until 2005-ish. And what happened was that, you know, 25 years ago, I was an alcoholic and an addict. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. And my life was very dark, and I was very hopeless and very depressed. And then I, by the grace of God, I got sober. And my life started changing, and it got better. And then in 15 years after that, I was going along and I was being a therapist and enjoying my work, but it wasn't lighting me up the way I am now. I didn't realize what could happen, so I didn't even know, you know. But what happened to me then was my clients were beginning to ask me, since their issues were being resolved, they were beginning to ask me, what's next? You know, so what can I do with my life now? Honestly, I felt at a loss. I honestly hadn't been trained or had thought about how to help them get to that place, you know, what to do, what my treatment of choice would be for that, so to speak. And so I, just at that time, I became confused and I started thinking, you know what, I don't even know that answer for myself. And then I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So I dropped all that and went into treatment. And it was very scary for me, but then once I made up my mind to do that treatment, just as I had done the treatment for alcoholism, I just, you know, moved into it like crazy. And then when I was done, it took about 3 months, and when I was done, I started thinking about what my clients had been asking me because I was back to work, and we started discussing it. And I hired a coach because I figured, I don't know. I don't know this answer for me, and I don't know this answer for them. And as he started to talk to me, some of the things he talked about are in this book, you know, not necessarily in the way that I've put them, but they were my first introduction to purpose and vision and thinking about those kinds of things. And so I asked him where he went to school, and I enrolled where he went to school because it's not really a big jump from psychotherapist to life coach. And when I was in school, I took a niche marketing class, and I was the only one in the class that didn't have a niche. I felt like such a failure. But that was the whole reason I was there. You know what I mean? It was like, I've got to find a niche. So there were things that I was learning, like purpose, and like I said, and values, and how to, you know, take your moral compass and use it to define you rather than you define it. And so I put it together in this 5-step process that I call the Best Life Process, that's in the book, and I did it because I wanted to find the answer, and I thought maybe the answer is in that. So I did the 5-step process, and well, I finished school first, then I did the 5-step process, and lo and behold, I was lit up. I felt so different. I was thrilled and excited. I couldn't wait to get up in the morning and work on it tomorrow. I couldn't wait to start thinking about this and start talking about this and start figuring out what I was going to do with this. And I had never felt that way before. Really, I hadn't. And in my vision, which is one of the steps of the process, I also wrote down many things about my own personal life that I wanted to become and I wanted to attract and stuff. And so a lot of these things have come true. Almost all of them have come true. It's time for me to do the 5 steps again because I have to write a new vision because this book was more or less the end of the vision on paper. And so, and then, of course, that has spawned many other ideas that I'm going to put in my next vision. But it changed my life, and so I started using it with my clients. And then I started seeing them get the same results I got. And then so I started talking about it, you know, speaking about it and writing articles about it on the web. And then finally, a publisher of one of the online journals that I've written many articles for said to me, really, you know, this is turning into a book. And I said, you know what, you're right. So I wrote the book.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And one of the things I really love about the way you express yourself and the way you're driven in your life is that you have a tremendous clarity on your purpose. How important do you think that is for people to be able to develop that kind of clarity around what they're supposed to do?
I think it's really important because I think that, you know, with everything we have today in this world, we're so busy, you know. We have, I mean, think about it. What do you do when you get up in the morning? You have mail, you have emails, you have your cell phone, you have your home phone. You have all this stuff going on. And then if you've got kids, you've got to deal with the kids and take them to school and this and that and the other thing. And if you have a partner, you deal with your partner and you try to do your work. And it's really, it's kind of a problem of abundance. And so I think that when you have a clarity of purpose, what ends up happening is it's a whole lot easier when you go through your scads of emails in the morning or whenever you do it to take a look at what you need to look at and what you need not to look at, what you need to subscribe to and what you need to unsubscribe to, what direction you're going to go in and what you're going to do each and every day. So it doesn't just help you in a big way, but it also helps you, you know, with all the little baby steps along the way that make up your life. Because our lives are moments that turn into hours, that turn into days, weeks, months, years, and a lifetime. So it starts with the moment. It starts with the baby steps. And so if we know what we're about, if we're clear on what we really feel called to do, if we have a vision of what our life means to us and what we want it to mean and what we want to give to this world and how we can be of service to others as well as ourselves and our families, if we have all that, then it's going to be easier just to go along and not be overwhelmed by everything that's thrown at us.
And what I really like about what you're saying too, Marcia, is that it allows us to really honor our time and space here on Earth and in a way that, you know, honors us as people and honors others. So it's wonderful to have those preferences about how we want to spend our time and really be clear on that. How can someone begin to discover what their purpose is and develop, again, that clarity?
Well, I think that probably there are a couple of things that are the most important to do. And one is to define what your values are. And values are, you know, as you know, the things that matter most to us, like family, friends, compassion, connection, love, spirituality. Whatever matters the most to us, those are our values. And once we put them down on paper, which there's a whole process that I've written about in the book to help people do it a really easy way, and including I have a pretty comprehensive list in there. So that's the last part of it. You know, once they've kind of gone through a few weeks of their life, or I mean a few days of their life and been writing down their values, then they bring them down to like 10 to 15, then they look at the list. And they also look at the people that they respect and admire in this world and what do their values seem to be. Like when I was doing it, I looked at Mother Teresa. Well, obviously, she's famous. But she didn't get famous because that was her goal. She got famous because she's a woman of compassion and a woman of caring and a woman of giving. And those are values that I think are really important. So, you know, she inspired me to use those values in my list. And so then there's your values list. And also there's your list of what you do best, you know. It's important to take a look at whatever you've done in your life that made you proud. We've all had those moments. and even when we were kids, I mean, you could go back and look at what have you done in your life that really made you feel good about yourself, you know? But one of my clients started this process, and as she was doing her, I call it the list of gifts, her gifts, and she was sharing her gifts with me. One of them was, she said, I have a magic way of dealing with animals. I just, animals love me, and I love them. And as we got talking further and further along, and she wrote her purpose, and then she started visualizing what she wanted her life to look like in 1 to 5 years. She said that she wanted to have animals play a large part in her life. And now she's in veterinary school. She's in school to be a veterinarian, and she works part-time at a vet clinic. And she just is so happy.
Wow, so, that's powerful.
Isn't it? I know. And she was shocked, because really, that wasn't, you know, she didn't, when she went to college, she didn't think about that, you know. And when she thought about what she wanted to be when she grew up, she didn't think about that. But when she started thinking about what talent she had as a human being, she remembered that she's just like a magic person with animals. And that led her to making that her life's work, really.
Oh, that is wonderful. Really wonderful. Do you have any other examples of like actual purpose statements from clients that you've worked with on this?
Yes, I do. Let me just sign them here. I can't remember them off the top. Okay, here's one. Do you want me to tell you about the guy or just read the purpose statement?
Well, you can tell us a little bit about the circumstance around it. That would be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy's name is Thomas, and not his real name. And he retired 2 years before we met. And so by the time he walked into my office, he was tired, sluggish. He said he felt useful. He said that he never realized how much his work had been a part of his social life and his time life. You know, like he said to me, I remember him saying, how much tennis can a person play? And he didn't know what to do to fill his days. He was having difficulty filling his days. And his social life also took a dive at the time. So he was kind of depressed. And so we started to work together. He was kind of skeptical about the best life process because he was a thinker. And he needed to be able to use his heart, his intuition, as much as possible for this kind of work, because this calling doesn't come to us through our brain. It comes to us through our gut. It comes to us through our heart. It's more of our intuition, you know? And so we talked about what he could do to, you know, grow his intuition. And so one of the things that I suggested he do is start meditating. And I have a whole section on meditation with 4 different examples of ways to meditate for people to take a look at. And he was, you should have heard him. He was like, meditate? He's in his late 60s. So I was like, no, I don't think so. I said, would you just try it for a week? So he said he'd try it for a week. And he comes in and he goes, you know, I kind of like how it makes me feel. It's kind of, I feel kind of clear and rested, energetic. And I said, why don't you keep going with it? So he started to go with it, and it began to be something that he just fell in love with. He just loved meditating. So here's his purpose. I have begun to dream about 2 things, travel and helping others. They have become my passion. Now that I meditate, my purpose is to further study meditation, use it to help others across the globe, and teach it everywhere I can. I will be helpful to anyone who needs me and behave with love and service towards my family and my community. I will learn the customs of the people I serve. I will lighten up, enjoying every moment of my life in the company of others. Integrity, authenticity, and balance will be my watchwords. As I go forward, I will search for ways to give rather than worrying about receiving.
Oh.
So that's Thomas's story. Then we have Avi. Avi was an artist. He was having trouble making a living as an artist, a painter, and so he got a teaching credential, but then he had that for a year by the time I met him, and he wasn't happy because he said that he felt like this wasn't what he was meant to do, and he was confused about what was going on in his life, you know, professionally and personally. He said he'd been struggling for so long that he just didn't know where to turn, and he said that he liked teaching, but he didn't feel that it was his calling, and it had nothing to do with his creative muse. So his work seemed fundamentally unimportant to him. And then as we started the process, you know, of his values and his gifts, and then he started to realize that, you know, he had seen his goals in a very narrow way. And so they had kept eluding him. And because it was like tunnel vision, and he didn't get all the messages that were coming in from the outside world to him. And so he wrote this purpose. My purpose is to be the very best teacher that I can be, to teach using all my creativity in order to help young minds develop and to bring out the muse in each of my students. I am a painter, and I will always paint. I will find a way to use my gift to help others in and out of the classroom. I will bring creativity into all aspects of my life, my family, my community, my friends, and my home. I will be generous with this creativity. My life will be a giving and receiving of love in many different ways. So he went from there to being offered painting classes at the school and at a gallery, at the school where he taught and at a gallery in town. And he also had an art class on Saturdays for the open to the community, where they did murals outside. And some gang kids joined it, and they weren't allowed to tag, so they had to find other ways of visually expressing themselves. And so now he's just like enmeshed in all this painting, and he's had a show. You know, it was cool for him.
That is so powerful again and so beautiful. So tell me, do you think everyone, Marcia, has the ability for that kind of vision?
I do. I'd say it's harder for some people than other people, depending. You know, obviously, someone like Avi, an artist, he's used to using his vision. You know what I mean? But someone like Thomas, for instance, who was a businessman when he was working, he was much more of a left-brain thinker. So sometimes they have to make a transition. You know, when we work together, they can transition. And using the tools that are in here, I think it really helps them to be able to imagine. And then by the time they write their purpose, it's kind of like a personal mission statement. And once they've done that, then they go to the process of writing their vision, which they just ask themselves, what does my life look like between 1 and 5 years from now? And then they start out. If they write it in a journal by hand, and they start out, there I am, and then they keep going, you know, and they can do it little bits and pieces, they can do it all at once. It's the longest piece of this, well, it isn't the longest piece of the process. Obviously, the last part, you know, the action steps to get where you're going is the longest part, but this is the longest of the first three steps, and it's fun. It's fun to write it. I mean, I enjoyed it. I would write it every morning with my tea. You know, I'd be sitting having my tea, and I would take my journal and start writing. And it doesn't matter what order you write things in. It doesn't matter what your grammar's like, nothing. What matters is that you get it all down. And it becomes like your writing is this great story.
So since you were such an expert at bringing this out in others, what's the heart and core of your message?
My message? My purpose is to help others find their purpose, to help others find their way in this world that they can be happy and giving to others, and to teach coaches, therapists, counselors how to use these tools to help their clients. You know, a lot of my friends have said, you know, I want to do your stuff. I want to do your stuff. I had this little group with a few of my friends when I was writing the book. I said, sure, I'll do this with you for free if you'll let me use some of your stuff in my book, and anonymously, of course. And so they did. And I just love watching people's eyes light up. I've always been like this. They can't help it. You know, that's why I became a therapist in the first place. I just love helping people.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The kind of help where we start from a place of, what have you been doing that's wonderful in your life? It's not what's wrong and what do we need to fix. It's more like, let's take a look at what's fabulous about you and let's expand it. Because everybody has something wonderful. Everybody has a purpose and calling, something about them that's really special. You know, Vicki, because you talk to a whole lot of people, you know that everybody has something special going on.
I think there's no question about it. And I think that special going on is also really unique to the world. You know, that's what I find.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's exciting, too, about the world.
Yeah, it's that uniqueness and that the ability to make a unique contribution that I think is so incredible in every single human being. It's just wonderful. So tell me, how does this all translate into living a truly passionate life for yourself and when you see this in others? What does that look like?
Okay, one of the things that I noticed is that, you know, I've always had, well, I mean, in the last few years, I've had, my self-esteem has risen from, you know, when I first got sober almost 26 years ago to now, it's pretty good. And when I started writing the book 2 years ago, it was pretty good. But as I started to write the book, which was in my vision, and, well, even before that, when I started to do the Best Life process, you know, I didn't even know that's what it was called when I did it, but I started noticing that I just really felt great about myself, and I just really felt enthusiastic. And I had lunch with a friend of mine who's a marketer in the field that I'm in, and we always have lunch every couple of months. We have lunch, and he looked at me and he goes, "God, I have never seen you like this before. You're just like so excited." And at first, I was like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "No, you're so excited about everything, about life, about what you're doing, about, you're just so much fun." So I think that's maybe part of the answer to your question there. I mean, I think that what happens is, you know, we all have moments of fear because we're human. And the difference between human beings and animals may be afraid, you know, like I have a fountain in my backyard and there's little birds that come and they play in the fountain. And I want to go outside and stand there and watch them. But when I open the sliding glass window to do that, then they fly away because they're afraid. That kind of fear is good fear because that kind of fear tells you there's danger and it makes sense. And human beings, we have a special kind of fear we manage to do sometimes, which is our heads tell us we're not enough. Our heads tell us we can't do this or we can't do that. And sometimes we don't even know. And sometimes that fear hides behind things like anger or shutting down or being lazy or, you know, a host of, I call them the masks of fear. And the thing is that we have to learn how to walk straight through our fear. It's not like we're not going to have fear. That's a thing. It's a thing. It's very human. And I've heard lots and lots of people talk about it, and I've read a lot about it. And the thing that I have discovered is that what we need to do is have a whole new relationship with fear, accept it as a part of our lives. Understand that the only thing that's wrong with fear is when we listen to our fear voice. When we listen to our fear voice, tell us, no, you can't do this. Like when I was writing this book, I was like, my fear voice would say, "Are you crazy? You write a book? Oh, nobody's going to read it. And if anybody does read it, they're not going to like it. They're going to think you're crazy. This is what you're saying." And I had to say, you know what? No, I'm really happy doing this. I really believe in this. I'm really going to do this. And sometimes I would have to use prayer. I'd have to call a friend and talk about my fear voice and say, you know, I just want to tell you, I just want to share with you that I'm having some fear right now. And there isn't anybody that can't relate to that. Or I would have to stop what I was doing and go take a walk, which is my therapy of choice. And I'd come back and I'd feel much better. Or meditate. There's a lot of ways to deal with fear and help us to get to the next step that we need to do to keep going in our process. And if we do that, then it's almost like magic what happens.
Oh, that is just marvelous. I love the picture that you paint, Marcia. I was wondering, the time has just flown by so quickly, and I so enjoyed spending time with you, and thank you so much for being so gracious in your sharing of all of your wisdom and your time. Do you have anything else you'd like to share in closing?
Just that I hope that people will seriously look at this opportunity to do this, because it's something that, you know, I can talk about it and talk about it, but until you've embarked on a journey that, while it's immensely rewarding, it's certainly not for the faint-hearted, you're going to find that it's going to help you gather wisdom and it's going to be good for your soul. And I honor everyone's journey into themselves and into what they value most in their lives, because this is another way of finding your authentic self.
Oh, again, so beautiful. Thank you so much. I am sure that so many of our listeners will want to connect with you and learn more about what you have to offer and more about the wisdom that you have to share. Do you have a website where they could go to connect?
I do. It's www.marciaullett.com. or, although it's not up yet, it's not live yet, www.yourbestlifeyetbook.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Can you give your website that is up one more time just so everyone gets it?
Marcia Ullett, MarciaUllett.com.
Fabulous. Marcia, thank you again so much. It has just been a total joy to be with you today.
And thank you, Vicki. It's been such a pleasure.
And for anyone who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling magazines and books, communities, as well as broadcast, you can find us at GetEI.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone out there, have a wonderful week.